right, if you will turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 1, please. Isaiah chapter 1. I want to read verses 18 through 20 this morning in Isaiah chapter 1. Very familiar scripture. Everybody ready? All right. Bible says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse or rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his precious word this morning. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come as humbly as we know how before Thee. And dear Father, we just ask, Lord, that You would lead and guide and direct in everything said and done today. Lord, we pray, Lord, that each heart may leave this place and say it's been good to have been in the house of the Lord. Lord, we pray that every need might be met. Lord, I don't know what that need is, but Lord, You do. And Lord, we just ask, Lord, that You'd meet every need of every heart here today. Lord, we pray, Lord, that if there's anyone in our midst today that knows You not as Savior, Lord, that You will open their eyes, help them to see their need of Christ before it's everlasting too late. Lord, we ask now that You supply my need. Lord, I need Your touch, need Your filling, need Your power. For Lord, without Thee, we can do nothing. Lord, we're helpless and hopeless without You. Lord, how we need Your touch and Your filling of the Holy Spirit of God, Your leadership, Your guidance. And for Lord, we cannot do anything ourselves. And Lord, all that You do, we'll be faithful to give You the praise and the honor and the glory. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we do pray. Amen and amen. We find that a skeptic asked a Christian a question. He said, "How does blood cleanse sin?" And so the Christian was kind of dumbfounded and he didn't know how to answer him. And he said, "Well, I've got a question for you." He said, "How does water quench your thirst?" And the skeptic thought, "Well, I don't know." But he said, "I know it does it, amen." He said, the same way the Christian said. He said, the same way for me. He said, "I don't know how it works or how it's done." He said, "But I know that it does, amen." Praise God. We find here in the scripture this morning where, matter of fact, the title of my message is Whiter Than Snow. And so we find here that God is speaking through Isaiah. And he says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord." And so, you know, the Lord is interested. He is interested in man's salvation. He is interested in whether man goes to heaven or hell. God is interested about people. I like what Brother Jake said in Sunday school this morning when he's talking about all the people that we run into each and every day of our lives that are lost and undone without God. These people God loves. Praise God for John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." Amen. Listen, God does. He loves everybody. I'm so glad one day I found out that God loved me. Amen. I'm so glad that God opened my eyes to my need. I see myself a sinner, lost and undone without God. And I came to the place and called upon Him, and He reached down and saved my soul. I've been 50 years now that I've been saved. And so I thank God that God opened my eyes and saved my soul and made me whiter than snow, amen. Yeah, even though my sins be red like scarlet, amen. God said He'd make them white as snow and white as wool. And so we'll be preaching on that and along those lines this morning. So we find that that God is given a call. Isaiah develops this. He says, that it's a remarkable call. God says, "Come." He says, "Come." He said, and He doesn't say, "Come a few," or "Come so-and-so." He just says, "Come to all." I'm glad that he's reaching out to all. He's reaching out to everyone. He's concerned about everyone. He said, anyone that will come, he said, though your sins be red like scarlet, he said, I'll make them white as snow. He said, you just need to come. You need to come. And so we find it's a remarkable call there. He says, come. It's the appeal, or the appeal to the heart and to the will. He's called come. You remember when God dealt with your heart? You remember when God said, come to you? You remember when he knocked upon the door of your heart? And he said, hey, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He said, come. Praise God. I'll never forget the night that God began to deal with me and deal with my heart. Matter of fact, I got up to walk out of the church. I said, I can't do this. And got to the door. And you know, you've heard me tell the story time and time again. When I got to the door and put my hand on the vestibule door, God said, you leave this place and you'll die and go to hell. And I was afraid. And I turned, and I'll never forget Preacher Mabe standing in front of the communion table, looked up that center aisle, and held out his arm and said, why won't you come to my Lord Jesus? You know, when he said that, you know, well, why should I put it off? Amen. Why should I be concerned about what family members think? There was family members that was there in the church that night that thought I was already saved. I remember after I got saved that night, my mother told me, she said, now, honey, I think if you died, you'd went to heaven. I said, no, Mom, if I died, I'd went to hell. I said, I really didn't get saved at 15. I got saved when I was 22 years of age. I made a profession at 15, but I never got saved. You know, there's a lot of people that's dependent upon a profession, but they know there's never been a change to take place in their life. I'm so glad that God made a change in my life. When he saved me, he changed me. He made me a new creature in Christ Jesus. He made a change in me. After I genuinely got saved, then people said, there's something different about you. You know what? Jesus will make you different. Amen. Amen. He'll make you different than what you used to be. There'll be something seen in you that people had never seen before. They'll know that something has happened to you. Something has took place in your life. Now God says, come. He's appealing to the heart. God appealed to my heart. And when God saved you, he appealed to your heart. And he said, come. And he said, I want you to turn your will over to me now. He said, stop fighting me. Stop resisting me. He says, come. And he says, turn from your evil ways. Turn from your sin. What is that? But repentance. Amen. Repentance is to turn from one direction to another. Amen. Praise God. I'm glad I turned. Amen. And turned to God. And listen, when I turned to God, God made a difference in my life. He saved me, and he made a difference in my life. Amen. But not only that, does it say, come. And he says, reason. Notice it says, come now and let us reason together. God said, let us reason. You know what really gets me and provokes me is that you try to reason with people. I said, let's look at this thing from God's point of view. Now, God is wanting to reason with you. He said, now I've done everything that's possible to keep you out of a devil's hell. He said, I've done everything possible that anybody could possibly do and still be a righteous and holy God. He said, I sent my son down from heaven and to die for you on the cross of Calvary, to shed his blood for your remission of your sins. And he said, I paved the way. He said, I've made it by grace. It's not by works, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Praise God, I'm glad it's not of works, because listen, you and I could never work our way in. We could never make it. Praise God for the grace of God that is bestowed upon us. God has already done the work. He said, I just want you to accept what I've already done. Amen. Just accept it. He said, let's reason together. He said, your sins are taken care of. All you need to do is come to my son. Come and receive my son as your Savior. It's just that way. Hey, he said, come on, let's reason. And this is an appeal to the mind. He said, let's reason together. Hey, listen, I remember we used to have a little track back there. He said, you know, that little track said something about it's a better deal. No, it's a honey of a deal. Yeah, I remember that. It's a honey of a deal. Praise God, you can't get any better deal than that. Before I got saved, you know, I thought, I said, well, I'm going to have to do this, I'm going to have to do that, you know. I'm going to have to go to church, and I'm going to have to be good, and I'm going to have to do this and do that and do the other. And boy, I was trying to do all of these things to make God happy so God would receive me. And God said, well, that's not good enough yet. You ain't got good enough yet. And I just kept on trying to do my very best. We had, you know, I remember we had Bible studies and different groups. We would change from house to house each week, and then sometimes it would fall on me. And then, of course, when it'd fall on me, then I'd have to give the lesson at the Bible study and all like that. And, man, sometimes I had no clue what I was even talking about. Amen. I had no clue what the Bible was saying. And I'm trying to tell somebody, don't have a clue, trying to tell somebody else. Hey, listen, boy, I needed help. And finally I came to the place and I said, God, I just can't do it. He said, that's right, you can't do it. I said, I might as well just give up. I said, I can't do it. He said, I know you can't do it. He said, that's why I sent my son. He said, you need my son. I said, God, I need help. I said, if you just show me, send somebody my way. And let me tell you, as soon as I asked God that, in just a day or two or whatever, somebody knocked on my door. And I went to the door, and there's two Baptist preachers standing there. And he said, we're just going in the neighborhood. We're getting ready to have a revival. And we're inviting people to church. He said, can we come in and talk to you for a minute? I said, sure, come on in. As soon as they came in, if you died right now, would you go to heaven? I happen to go to the such and such church over here. Yeah, I didn't ask you that, but if you died right now, and let me tell you, they hung on like a bulldog. I mean, boy, they wouldn't give up, they wouldn't stop. And let me tell you, I was getting very uncomfortable. Man, you better believe I was uncomfortable. And finally, they seen I wasn't going to give in. I was not going to give in. And they said, can we pray? They went through the plan of salvation with him, and then said, can we pray for you? And they had prayer, and they left. But boy, that night I see myself lost, and I kept asking my question, if I die right now, would I go to heaven? If I die right now, would I go to heaven? And I finally had to answer that question. No, I wouldn't go to heaven. Because I don't have anything to base my going to heaven on. And I said, God, help me. Don't let me die and go out into eternity lost. Lord, help me. Show me the way. And my daughter invited me to a church where they preached the gospel. I heard the gospel. My wife was raised up in a church, but she never heard the gospel. You know, she went to church all her life, from a baby all the way up. You know, we got married in that church and all these things. Hey, listen, but she never heard the gospel. They did not preach the gospel. They just told you, be good, be good, be good, be good. And that's what I tried to be, is good, but I seen that I was not good. Amen. I'm glad God finally had my sister invite us to church. God worked everything out, just plop, 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 just step by step by step. And I thought, I said, now my wife can't stand them Baptists. I'll never forget my wife saying, she said, I can't stand them Baptists. Them Baptists think they know it all. Boy, I'm telling you, isn't that something? Now she's married to a Baptist preacher. Amen. Boy, that's really bad. But anyway, to my surprise, my wife spoke up. When my sister asked, she said, would you and Brenda be our visitors at church Sunday? You know, hey, listen, it works out good that you invite people to come to church. Invite people to be your visitor to come to church. Invite someone, will you be my visitor? Will you be my visitor and go to church with me on Sunday? Hey, you know, we'll even come by and pick you up. Hey, listen, if you have to, hey, let me tell you, use your card for the Lord, amen. The Lord's wanting to give it to you, Amen. Lord's give you everything. I like what Brother Jake was teaching Sunday school this morning. Everything that we have, God has given it to us. Even the air we breathe, God has given it to us. The food we have on our table, God has given it to us. This body we have, God has given it to us. Amen. Yeah, God has given us everything that we have. We didn't get it. God gave it to us. Amen. Hallelujah. I've had people tell me, sir, well, I worked hard to get what I've got. Yet if God didn't give you the strength, you wouldn't be able to work. Yep. Hey, there's some people that love to work, but they're not able to work because they're crippled. Some are in hospitals and nursing homes and places. They'd love to be able to go to the job and work. Hey, listen, if we could do that, we ought to appreciate what God has allowed us to do. Now I look around and I see some 72-year-olds that get around better than I do. But you know what? I can look around and I can see some 60-year-olds that can't get along as good as I can. Hey, listen, there's always somebody in a worse shape than we are. We need to appreciate what God has done for us. And God said, I just want to reason with you a little bit. Let's reason together. Let's understand this thing. He said, I've done everything for you. Hey, just come and accept it by my marvelous grace and accept it, and I'll save you and give you everlasting life. You can't get a better deal than that. Oh, my friend. Then secondly, he says, there's a radical cleansing. Look at the last part of that verse. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Every time, I see that word scarlet, I think of my great-granddaughter. I told Hannah one day, I said, Hannah, one day you might regret naming her Scarlet.
Some days I do.
Sometimes she can be very rebellious. Oh, my goodness. But anyway, back to the message now. He says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Now, what's he talking about there? Well, first of all, he's talking about like snow, a pristine whiteness. Now, you know what? When God looks at you and I, because we've accepted Christ as our Savior, he sees a pristine white. He says it's absolutely perfect, white as the new-driven snow. I mean, he looks at us. He does not see us, but he sees Christ in us, Christ that was without sin. Jesus said when he walked upon this earth, he said, who convinceth me of sin? No one could convince him of sin. Listen, everything that they said that he was guilty of, they lied about, except him being the King of the Jews. And you better praise God, he was the King of the Jews. He is the King of the Jews. And he's coming back to reign one day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. But listen, he says, like snow, because of Christ, we have that purity. And we can come before God. Hey, Jesus said, he said, be ye holy as I am holy. How in the world can we be as holy as God? And the only way is we've got to be like God. And the only way we could be like God is to have Christ in us. That's what makes us holy. When God sees us, he doesn't see my sin or your sin. He sees Jesus Christ. You know, I'm so thankful that God, I didn't see this for many years. Brother Bob, I didn't see this for many years. I mean, it was for many years. I've been preaching a while, and I did not see it. I did not understand it. But you see, when God saved me and Christ came into me, and when God looks at me, he does not see my sin, but he sees the purity of God, the righteousness and holiness of God. He sees that I am as holy as God is as far as God's concerned. God does not see my sin. He does not see our shortcomings. shortcomings. He does not see our failures. Praise God, he doesn't see any of that. He sees only the righteousness of God because Christ lives in our heart. And then when Christ comes back, and this is what I didn't see, when Christ comes in the rapture, and he comes and he says, come up hither. And he calls the Holy Spirit of God out. Now listen, Jesus said you must be born again. In other words, that's a have to. You don't get to heaven without being born again. You've heard me tell about the Catholic man that told me. He said, are you one of them born again Christians? I said, yes, I'm guilty. I'm one of them. He said, I don't think much of born again Christians. I said, well, you don't think much of any Christian then, do you? He said, well, why would you say that? I said, because God's word tells us that we all must be born again. And I took my Bible and I opened it up to John chapter 3. And I just read John chapter 3 to him and began to explain it to him. And he began to squirm. And I told him, I said, sir, I said, let me tell you something. I said, unless you're born again and you've received Jesus Christ, your Savior, doesn't matter what religion you are. Hey, listen, there's a lot of people that think they're going to go to heaven because they're Catholics. No, they're not. There's a lot of people that think they're going to go to heaven because they're Methodists. No, they're not. A lot of people think they're going to heaven because they're Baptists. No, they're not. The only ones that's going to heaven is those that have called upon Jesus Christ and received him as their personal Savior, and Christ lives in their heart through the Holy Spirit of God. And so when the Lord comes back to rapture his church out and says, come up hither, he does not call us by name, but he calls the Holy Spirit of God out. And when he calls the Holy Spirit of God out, he takes us out. Amen. That's why I love Ephesians 4:30, and you've heard me say it over and over again. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God in which you're sealed in that day of redemption. Listen, when Christ come in, he sealed the Holy Spirit within us. We're sealed, amen. Hallelujah. I remember one day my stepmother, she came over to me, and I was down in Georgia with my dad and she come over to me one morning, and my dad was sitting there, and every day he'd sit down at the table there, and he'd read his Bible. And she said, Larry, would you talk to your dad? I said, about what? She said, every time I try to talk to him, said he just wants to get mad, and said, we get in an argument. But said, he believes you can lose your salvation. And said, I've tried to explain it to him, I've tried to talk to him, and she said, he just wants to get mad and argue. She said, I don't want to argue with him. And she said, I would just want him to see the truth. She said, would you talk to him about that? I said, I'd be glad to. And so I just walked over and I sat down across the table from my dad. And I said, Dad, would you explain something to me? And he said, why, sure, son, what is it? I said, would you turn over to John 5:24 and explain that verse to me? And he turned over in his Bible to John 5:24, and he said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. I said, Dad, would you explain it to me? And he looked at that and read it. He looked over at me and smiled. He says, son, for the first time in my life, I see it now. From that day to the day he died, he believed in eternal security. Amen. Praise God. Even John 3:16 shows eternal security. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. I made over and over and over again. I used to have the idea that God was going around and looking for people that he could damn and send into hell. But I found out it's exactly the opposite. God is looking for people that would trust his son and be saved from a devil's hell. Amen. He's trying to save people. He's trying to take people to heaven. He wants people to go to heaven. He never created hell for man to start with. He created for the devil and his angels. Oh, my God. But anyway, Then notice something else. He says, like wool. Then he says, here, like wool. He said, though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Now, this is a refining. Now, first of all, God saves us, and he puts purity within us in the Holy Spirit that lives within us. And so Christ is seen within us, and so we have a pristine holiness. But then he says, then he talks about white as wool. Now, you see, now this is different. Now, he's talking about something different now. He says, now that we've been made white as snow, we need to turn our lives over and walk in Christ and purify ourselves as we walk daily with Christ. Hey, this is a refining. See, wool then is not necessarily pure white. It's refined to be made white. And so we are to refine ourselves each and every day. That's why Paul said, he says, I repent daily. The verse just left me. Huh? He died daily. That's what I was trying to find. He died daily. And Paul was talking about coming and confessing his sins daily. He said, I confess my sin that I fail. I fail God. I come short. I remember when I read Romans chapter 7 after I got saved. I said, what? Paul said this? I could not believe Paul said that. He said, that I would do, I do not. That I would not do, I do. I said, that sounds more like me. I mean, I looked at Paul as just so righteous and so holy and so great. Hey, listen, Paul was a man just like you and I. Paul had to ask God to forgive him of his sin just like you and I have to do it, you see. And so we find it's a refining type of whiteness, you see. And then my last point here tonight, this morning, it's a real consequence. Look at verses 19 and 20 now. He says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Hey, you know what? If you be willing and obedient and come to Christ, you shall be saved and have everlasting life. Huh? Can you see that? That's what he's saying. He says, now, if you'll be obedient, he says, come. If you'll be obedient and you come to Christ and receive Christ as your Savior, he said, the goodness of God will be poured out upon you. Hey, you know what? God has been so good to me, and he's been so good to you. I mean, my goodness, God has been just so good to me. Sometimes I wonder why God is so good to me. But God is so good all the time. He supplies every need that comes up in my life. He supplies that. He allows problems to come in my life. Of course, I fight problems just like you do. Each and every day of my life, I have problems. My wife has problems. We have problems. Our family has problems. Hey, listen, we go through the problems. That's part of life. But listen, but God brings us through, amen, through each problem. Every need is supplied. I just thank God for the goodness of God in my life and how God has been so good to me all these years. These 50 years, God has been good to me, amen. He has done so much, far better than I deserve. Far better than I deserve. But God looks at me as his child. Amen. You know, we're better to our children than we are to other people's children. Why? Because they're ours. They belong to us. That little kid there belongs to you. She's yours. Yes, you take good care of her. Yes, you're going to see that she's took good care of her. Yes, you're going to see that if she gets sick, that she goes to the doctor. You're going to see that she has proper clothing. You're going to see that she's got food. You're going to see that every need when she comes up, and a lot of her want to's as she gets up, she'll come up like my daughter used to, and she said, "Now, Papa, Daddy." When she'd say Papa, Daddy, I knew what was coming. I knew what was coming. I remember when Amy was a child and she went up to my stepfather and she said, "Papa, you got some money?" He said, "Honey, I'm sorry." He said, "I'm broke. I don't have any money on me." And she said, "You can write a check. Mama writes a check." He just died laughing. He said, "You can't believe what Amy just said to me." Well, she was raised up with a mother that was a banker, amen. Now she's a banker. Oh, man. But he said, "Oh, you can write me a check." I'll never forget that, amen. Amen. That's what Mama does. She just writes a check. One day she said something, or somebody said something, Brenda, and she said, "When I stopped working for the bank, I retired, stopped working, they stopped paying me." She said, "I don't get a paycheck anymore." Oh, my. You know, we don't have money coming out of our ears. Oh, man. But look down here. He said, "If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land." Notice that in verse number 19. If. See, there's an if there. If you do what God tells you. It's your choice. God does not make one person do anything. He does not make. He offers. He said, "This is the offer. You can either take it or leave it. It's up to you." Have you ever wondered about the young rich ruler who came running up to Jesus, fell down at Jesus' feet, and he says, "Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said, "You know what the commandment says." He said, "Oh, I've kept all those from my youth on. What else do I lack?" And he said, "Go sell that all that you have and give to the poor and come follow me." And he said, he walked away sorrowfully. Now, I want to add a little bit to that. This is my own belief. You don't have to believe this if you don't want to. But I believe that if he would have given all that he had to the poor and followed Jesus, Jesus would have given him more than he had to begin with. Hey, look at Job. Look at everything. I mean, listen, Job lost everything. He lost 10 children. He lost all of his crops. He lost all of his servants. He lost all of his animals, his cattle, and all these things. He lost it every bit. Every bit it was taken from him. But listen, read at the back of the chapter out of the book. His last state, God gave him twice as much as he had before. Hey, God never asks you to give up anything that he won't give you back more in return. He'll never do that. He'll never do that. But notice now, he says, "But if you refuse," in verse 20, "but if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with a sword." He said, "Now, I'm offering you something good, but if you don't want it, I want to tell you, the day is coming, judgment's going to fall upon you." He said, "I'm going to have to judge you, and I'm going to judge you by sending the sword unto you into your land, and it's going to cost you dearly if you don't do what I've told you to do." And that's exactly what happens to people that won't come to Christ. Oh, they might have it good for a while. Have you ever wondered about some of these people? Some of these ungodly people, they have so much money and have all nice big homes and nice automobiles and nice clothes and diamond jewelry and all that kind of stuff. Have all these things, you know. You say, "Well, look how they're living. Look how, hey, you know, you can go to some of these drug bosses and all like that, and oh man, they live in the mansions and they have all the fancy cars with all the newest things and this and that and the other." Hey, but listen, their day is coming. Their day is coming. Hey, listen, every person But even that person that doesn't have anything but will not come to Christ is going to lose the little bit that he does have. It's going to cost him. It's very much more wiser to follow God. And I mean, God pleads. God pleads. God doesn't have to plead, but he does plead. Amen. And then he says, devour with a sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Some people say, well, I don't believe in hell. I don't know what happened to my cheap paper, but it's gone. I don't see anywhere. Where'd it fall? Oh, down there? Okay. Thank you, sir. Oh, man. But it's like this. God says, come. Come now. Notice he says now. Not later, but now. While God is speaking, God is dealing. If there's someone here this morning who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, God's saying, come. Don't wait. Come now. You have no promise of tomorrow. You don't know whether you'll see tomorrow's sunshine rise or not. I don't know that myself, but I know one thing. If I leave this whole body, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. I know that I'm saved. I know my name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Do you know that? If you don't know that, you can know that. Dear Christian friend, you've got loved ones. I know all of us have loved ones that are lost and undone without God. Pray for them. There's no better time than to come and get on this altar and pray and ask God to save their soul. I'm so glad that people prayed for me. And I didn't know people were praying for me. I had no idea that people were praying for me. But after I got saved, I found out that there was a lot of people praying for me and wanting me to get saved. I'm so glad they came and prayed for me. You have loved ones that's lost and undone this morning, come to an old-fashioned altar and pray for them and ask God to save their soul before it's everlasting too late. The time is coming to the end. Jesus said, when you see these things come to pass, look up, thy redemption draweth nigh. And we see exactly what he tells us about, what he's told us about. Hey, listen, Jesus is coming soon. I don't know when he's coming, but I know he's coming soon because he told us how things was going to be. He's coming soon. We need to get our loved ones in before it's everlasting too late. Time. Some people don't have time. Listen, there was people that was alive earlier this week today in the morgue. They're not alive anymore. They thought they had plenty of time. Some people think they got plenty of time. There's young people that think they have plenty of time. Listen, I've had to deal with funerals with young people, 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds, that were killed, that died, thinking they had plenty of time. Hey, listen, we don't know how much time we got. I know one thing, though. If I don't see tomorrow's sunshine, I know heaven is my home. Praise the Lord. I thank God for that. I took care of the question. Let's all stand, please. Would you come? Whatever your need might be. What shall we sing this morning?